anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Oh, all my bad. We're just going to turn this track down and talk over it. Because,
yeah, why not?
Because it just started playing. and it is one of your songs.
It is.
So I'm just going to turn it down now. Great. All right.
So as you can see from that little preview, today we are talking about The Jam.
Yes.
British group The Jam, obviously. And we're talking about their final studio album, The Gift, which is turning 35, sorry, this year. Gosh, the 80s already seems so long ago.
Well, I'm real keen to listen to this album because it's just... It's good.
It is a good one, yeah.
It's a good one.
And it's quite interesting that we're talking about The Jam today because they were quite a political band in their time.
Yes.
With all the activity going on.
Oh my gosh.
Over the weekend.
The culture, the activity.
The culture, exactly. So, yeah, The Jam, they formed quite early in the 70s, in 1972, in Woking, by Mr. Paul Weller, of course, who
yes.
is the lead singer and songwriter and guitarist, and Rick Buckler on drums, and Bruce Foxton would eventually join later on as well on bass guitar to complete the lineup. And they were basically part of this musical and cultural movement that hit Britain in the late 70s, which was called the Mod Revival. That was kind of alongside punk, and kind of got roped into punk as well by a lot of people because it had similar sensibilities to punk, even though it wasn't directly punk.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like this combining of the mod sort of look from the 60s with, you know, suits and Lambretta scooters and a love of kind of Motown and American R&B and rock and roll, and then also 60s British bands like the Kinks and the Small Faces and the Who.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like this big revival of that 60s mod movement. Kind of became a thing in the late 70s. The late 70s was an interesting time for music in Britain because you had all these kind of separate kind of cultures sort of rising again. You had punk, obviously, you had mod culture, you had skinhead culture, you had ska and new wave, and it all kind of combined together in this kind of melting pot. It was really exciting.
Cool.
Yeah. And they were, I think when you think of the mod revival, The Jam were like the leading band of this movement. And as I said, despite being not really punk, I mean, some of their music is quite similar to punk, they were lumped in with punk by the music press, and they were actually accepted by a lot in the punk movement. Not everyone in the punk movement liked them, but a lot of people did. And they used to play at punk gigs with, you know, they shared a stage with the Sex Pistols and the Clash, and they attracted quite a large following within that movement, even though a lot of people used to sneer at them for wearing suits and, you know, having nice haircuts and that kind of thing.
Presentation,
yeah.
Presentable.
Yeah. And when, like, everyone else is wearing, like, safety pins and ripped shirts and stuff, yeah.
But I reckon it's, like... I mean, these days it's more punk to create something beautiful out of miserable situations. So,
yeah.
There's two different ways to do it. It's like there's the classic punk that we know now who threw themselves away, basically.
Yeah.
And then there were the mod revivalists.
Exactly.
Who wanted to create and something a bit more.
The new romantics.
Polished? Yeah. Like the polish.
The polished
versus the rough.
Yeah. And, so their music was initially quite aggressive and had similarities to punk rock, you know, strong guitar sound, quite aggressive political vocals. And they were also closely aligned, as I said, with the 60s, pop groups, the Beatles, Motown, that kind of thing. And they were very popular in the late 70s and early 80s. In fact, they had a record at the time between 1977 and 1982 of having 18 straight singles in the UK top 40. Which was a record at the time, including 4 number one hits.
No wonder people hated them.
Yeah, well, exactly, because, you know, commercial success. Woo! So by 1982, they'd released 5 albums in 3 years, so they were quite prolific, and they were kind of at the top of their game musically. But on this album, The Gift, they decided to change their sound, and they moved away from their kind of melodic 60s pop style and kind of ferocious punk leanings towards a more kind of funk, R&B, Northern Soul-inspired sound. And this new direction was completely down to Paul Weller, basically, and what he was listening to at the time, which was a lot of American funk music, disco, that kind of thing. And he wanted to experiment more with these styles, so he brought in a horn section, he experimented with funk guitar playing, and this basically led to disagreements with the other members of the band who weren't that keen to explore this kind of new musical sound. And this was basically the reason for Paul Weller deciding at the end of 1982 to leave the band. And we'll talk more about that later on.
Okay.
Because it was quite controversial at the time.
Oh.
We'll start with the opening track on the record, And this is called Happy Together. And this, I think, quite out of all the tracks you're going to hear, this probably best resembles the classic jam sound of their earlier records. It's fast tempo, quite a heavy rhythm section, powerful vocals. Lots of punk-inspired rage and energy on this track. Happy together.
Happy together.
That would be nice.
I don't know why I'm singing like that. Such a weird mood, Sam.
I'm going to help you, though.
Okay.
By playing a track called Ghosts.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is more slower, less aggressive, and kind of less instrumentation as well on this track. Although we hear for the first time the horns, which feature throughout this record.
Nice. Real nice.
Sight. I'm not gotta rip this budget just to tie you down. How do you feel at the end of the day? Just like you won't over your own way. Why are you fighting? Can't you see that it's you? At the moment there's nothing, so there's nothing to lose. Lift up your lonely heart and walk right on.
Nice little horn harmony going on there.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So that was Ghosts. And the next track we're going to play was a double A-side single from the record. It's called Precious. It was a double A-side single with a town called Malice. And it went to number one in the UK. And with this track, you can definitely hear very much the direction the band went down on this record. It's very funky, especially in the guitar. There's also horns again. And this was very different, a very different sound for them at this stage.
Dedicated to Smeagol. should have done it.
Not from the bar.
Were they saying schnooze?
I don't know.
Energy.
Geneva just
every
said,
time I laugh I cough.
I was just commenting, Geneva, I was like, that's a very long extended instrumental break, and she was like, oh, you could say it's a bit of a jam.
Oh my god, I can't believe I said it.
I had to break that on the airwaves just
yeah. So for those of you who don't know, we're doing anniversary albums with Sam Smith, reviewing The Jam,
The Gift. This is
from
a gift.
1982.
Yeah, 2035.
Let us know what you think about it.
The
5395,
track,
text
the
in.
The next track we're going to play is this is a change, a bit of a change from the funk style that you just heard there. This this is more kind of traditional classic Paul Weller. It's the track's called Carnation. It's a beautiful melody, a very Beatles inspired pop song with a bit of soul thrown in there. And he's pretty much made a career out of writing these types of songs.
Oh, that's why. Sorry, I just did something wrong. Is it Carnation? No.
That's the one.
That is the one.
That is the one.
Sorry, I am sorry. Okay, there we go. Thanks for all your texts, everyone. Someone mentioned that an artist called John Zorn also released an album called The Gift, and I just looked it up, and it's some type of, like, because he's like a producer and composer, and he said that this album, which was made in 2001, is for lovers only.
Oh.
Yeah, which is kind of cute.
What if you're out of love?
Well, then you're not allowed to listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you should try something else, a bit heavier.
Something more kind of aggressive.
Yeah, maybe.
We've also had someone say that this album killed the jam for me.
Yeah, and then we got another person who said that it was awesome. So, loving the jam.
Yeah, it's great
album.
To have, you know, diversity. For that person who said that it killed the jam, if you could text back in, what was your favourite jam album?
True. That, probably earlier, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah. All right. Well, the next track we're going to play, this wasn't on the original release of the record, but has appeared since on a deluxe edition, and it was released as a single around the same time. This track's called The Bitterest Pill I Ever Had to Swallow. And this one has a very strong soul feel to it, with the strings, the backing vocals, very soulful backing vocals. And it went to number two in the charts. And I think out of all the tracks, this one's very similar to a lot of the music that Paul Weller would go on to make with the Style Council in the 1980s.
And your wedding bells, you lit the picture of contented new will. But from the onlooking fool who believed your eyes, I wish this grave would open up and swallow me alive. The bitterest pill is hard to swallow. But if I kept, as he said, covered mocking shadows. Yeah, yeah. The wheel of fortune broke, it fell to me. Oh, I took her scars to change my misery. The vacant spot shall be hard to get place. Now watch more gleam my lips and of your kiss.
I just love some strings.
I love some strings, and I love some orchestral
and some falsetto vocals. Yeah, a lot of tracks in the 80s had some strings.
Yeah, I guess they just wanted to keep it all classy.
Kind of clean and classy.
Cleany classy.
For lovers only.
For lovers only. Well, I mean, that was the John Zorn buzz, but I don't know what that sounds like. But hey, you know, someone out there likes them, so hey, cool.
Cool beans.
Probably very popular musician. I don't know.
Probably.
All right, so what do we got next? Oh, wait, no. Sorry, we're going to commence our conclusion for anniversary albums, reviewing The Jam's The Gift from 1982, after this.
Love your beard, man. Coming along real nice.
Yeah, it's my new Melancholy Forever macadamia nut beard oil.
Yeah, man, I've been rubbing macadamia nut oil all over my tattoos. Keeps them so moist.
Lit AF. Have you tried rubbing lavender on them?
Nah, but have you tried these new barista socks? They've upped my latte art game so hard.
So lit, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about those. I also use them as a scrunchie to keep my cinnamon bun up nice and high.
Sorry to interrupt, guys, but there's customers waiting. Also, I thought I told you to put these beard nets on. We don't want to have the health department here again.
We're getting enough shit about the cracks in the Whanganui clay ceramic latte bowls already.
Yeah,
sorry, boss. Sorry.
Being a barista isn't as easy as it looks. Take yourself more seriously with Coffee Supreme.
Brit Award nominees London Grammar are playing one show only at Spark Arena, Saturday, September 30th, and tickets are selling fast. This is New Zealand's first chance to see this critically acclaimed group playing live, supporting the release of their stunning second album, Truth is a Beautiful Thing. Get in quick, because you don't want to miss out on London Grammar at Spark Arena, Saturday, September 30th. Tickets from Ticketmaster.
Good gig this weekend?
Awesome, so packed, we slayed. Steve left crying.
Oh, is he okay?
Dunno, wasn't into our song about how he finds cream corn sexy.
Oh.
Yeah, so wedding's off, but the gig was so good.
All kinds of things go down at the Thirsty Dog, and with 150 capacity and 150 venue hire, it's a great place for your next gig. The Thirsty Dog, 469 K Road. From poetry to punk, jazz to funk. The Thirsty Dog, always a performance.
The beauty of the fleeting and the ephemeral is so 20th century. BFM's best shows, features and interviews are now available as podcasts on RSS and Apple. Yours to cherish forever.
Welcome to 95 BFM Top 10. You're with Pearl.
Fashion. Turn
right,
to the left.
On Land of the Good Groove. Got lined up three songs.
Yo, welcome back. It's True School.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, you're kind of a mellow beginning to the journey.
Welcome to the Saturday 2 to 4. My name is Sarah. I will be...
Greetings and welcome. This is the Rhythm Selection and it's just gone.
Never miss out again. Becasts, available now on Apple Podcasts or RSS for whatever podcatcher you're into.
Yes, you're tuned into 95 BFM. This is Morning Glory with Geneva. Nice to see you with my ears.
With your ears.
I don't know why I always say see you. But yeah, I'm here with Sam Smith. We're about to commence our last song, celebrating The Jam for our anniversary album.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got a text back from the person who told us that this album killed The Jam for them. But we were like, oh, so what one do you like? And it's In the City and Setting Suns, pretty much part of my teens. Only two tracks really drew my attention on this album, including The Bitterest Pill. Still, it's good to hear The Jam getting a play. So thanks very much
thanks
for texting in.
Thanks very much for your feedback.
Mm.
Must always appreciate it. So looking at the reception of this record and kind of just the legacy and what happened. So it was a massive success, like most of their records. It went to number one in the UK, received largely positive reviews, and was definitely one of their most commercially successful albums. However, as I mentioned earlier, it was during the tour for this album that Paul Weller decided he wanted to disband the band, and he basically took the view that The Jam were at the peak of their game and there was nothing more they could do. And he didn't want to tarnish their legacy and continue making kind of average albums like a lot of bands tend to do.
I want to make some type of Jam-related pun, but I can't think of one.
So and it was also musical differences. Obviously, he wanted to do more funk and soul and jazz, and the others they wanted more kind of, you know, rock, I guess. And he felt quite limited in The Jam by this stage. So he announced he was leaving, which was a massive shock at the time to the fans and the music press, who didn't see it coming. And he went on to obviously form the Style Council, who were very popular here in New Zealand. And they went down, obviously, the jazz and soul route.
Very different direction.
Very different direction. Totally different direction. Some people think he was mad, absolutely mad. Other people were like, this is a, you know, really cool.
Well, you got to be a bit mad to be a genius, right?
You do, yeah. I like the Style Council, and I like The Jam too.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem.
Yeah, no.
The breakup ended up being quite bitter. He didn't speak to Bruce Foxen for 20-odd years after the breakup.
That's sad.
And he apparently still hasn't spoken to Rick Buckler, the drummer, since the band broke up.
Wow, what
35
happened?
Years ago.
Okay, there must be a certain tone to break up with people with your band, you know?
Yep.
And maybe he just did it in the wrong way.
Maybe. They were obviously taken aback, I guess, by his decision.
True.
Nevertheless, the Jam is still considered one of Britain's best bands from that new wave period. And obviously Paul Weller is considered one of the UK's best ever songwriters. And obviously he's known as the Mod Father. For all his work. That's kind of his tagline. And he's still releasing really good records. I mean, all these years later, he's had a very successful solo career, still experimenting with music and putting out really interesting stuff. And if you haven't heard his album from earlier this year, it's called A Kind Revolution, and it's really, really good. I definitely recommend checking that out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with that, we're going to finish with one of the Jam's best known tracks, Town Called Malice. It went to number one in the UK, and it's one of those 80s kind of classics that appears on a lot of 80s, best of the 80s compilations and stuff. And this one has a very strong ska kind of new wave feel to it. Yeah, great. Very danceable.
Well, thanks very much for coming in, Sam.
Yeah, no
always
worries.
A pleasure.
Always.
Always, always.
Ka kite anō. Have a good day.
Aye. Oh, yeah, I feel it. I'm feeling it.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.